Support from Owens Funeral Home at the corner of Elm and University in Champaign. Locally owned and operated and serving families since 1925. Owens Funeral Home invites you to join them in supporting public radio. Today's broadcast is made possible with support from Christie Clinic Association, with offices in Champaign, Urbana, Rantoul, and Mahomet. Christie Clinic, medicine for your life. Focus 580 is made possible in part by a grant from the Brown Bag Deli Restaurant, Homemade Pies by Inge, Gourmet Foods, Cards and Gifts, as well as Creative Crafts, Zimmer Art Gallery, Wacky Nackies, The Bean Scene Cafe, and Prairie Fire Glass, all housed in the same buildings in downtown Monticello.
Good morning and welcome to Focus 580. This is our morning talk program. My name is David Inch. Glad to have you with us. We're also pleased to welcome back to this program the man that we like to call our chef in residence. His name is Doyle Moore, and for more years than either of us would like to admit, he's been stopping by here on the program to talk with us about cooking, and it's something that we do on the first Wednesday of the month in the 10 o'clock hour, pick some kind of topic, and then we chew around on it, collecting recipes and cooking stories. Sometimes people have called in because they have been trying to make something and it just hasn't worked out for them, and they're looking for someone to do a little troubleshooting, so we have done that. But generally, Doyle picks a particular topic. It could be a certain dish. It could be a style of cooking, a particular attitude. Could be cooking that comes from some part of the country or some part of the world, and then we just talk about that. And of course, the important thing is we invite audience participation. We invite people to call in and offer recipes, ask questions, and so forth. And this time around, his thought was, since we are approaching a holiday time with which sweets are associated, he said, well, let's talk about cookies. It is that time of the year when people do like to bake cookies. And it could well be that there's something that people make at this time of the year, depending on what holiday you're celebrating, that you only make at this time of year that's associated with this holiday. Or maybe you have something to offer that's associated with a different holiday. The idea is that's we're not going to peg it onto any particular holiday because we want to make it as inclusive as we possibly can. But he's particularly interested in recipes. And I know that a lot of folks around here have talked about this program and have said there may be something that they have made and made and made and made, and they're looking for something different that they can make, something new. So that's the idea here. You can pick up the telephone and give us a call and share the recipe with us and with other people who are listening. 333-9455. That's the Champaign-Urbana number. And we do also have a toll-free line, and that's good anywhere that you can hear us, 800-222-9455. 333-WILL, toll-free 800-222-WILL. I know that doesn't help. It doesn't help me do it that way, but sort of a habit, and I mentioned. Well, welcome back. Glad to have you here.
Yes, thank you. Happy December.
It is December. It's the first of December. It's the first day of climatological winter. So it's officially
is that why it's cold and the water is stiff outside?
That's correct, son.
Oh, do you remember Bambi when Thumper comes upon the lake that's frozen for the first time? That's where I took that line. The water was stiff.
The water was stiff.
So he could thump on it.
So here we are again at the holiday times. And actually, this is something you reminded me that we did long, long time ago.
Yes.
As a topic, and got lots and lots of calls, heard from a lot of people. Because it is part of, for a lot of people, part of their holiday tradition involves food and treats, something sweet. And I'm not sure why cookies particularly. It is a central European thing, isn't it?
From what I understand, and I'm not sure of the whole long history of it, but the word cookie and the idea of cookie is a little sweet rather than a large cake. Mm-hmm. Where you make it and cut it in slices and eat it. And I believe it is a Dutch word, but I don't really want to say kuchen because I know that that exists in other situations, but it is a word that is very much like that, and it was the first word, and it was, I'm trying to think, some of those things were brought to America by the Dutch, some of the other recipes and the cooking and things like donuts, They're not the same thing as we have now. But cookies and that idea of a little taste, a little tiny taste. And that – so it – I don't think it's as old as we might ponder. I know that in Asia, there was no cookie culture, no sweet culture, because there was no sugar until the Portuguese brought sugar into Asia. And so, I mean, there were things with honey and nuts and things chopped up. The Romans did that, yes. They made, but they were making sort of bar cookies and heavy dense things. So cookies as cookies, I think, are relatively recent. I mean, I don't think that they go back much more than the 17th or 16th century.
So a few hundred years.
Just a few hundred years. Not Adam and Eve didn't make cookies, is my guess, and I may be wrong.
Is there something particular that you associate with your childhood? Was there something that your – because it seems like a lot of these things are mom made them, or maybe dad made them, and then perhaps you make them, and – Your kids want them, and so these things, they tend to become family traditions, and the recipes are passed down. And we make them because mom made them and grandma made them.
Exactly, and you always have to make them. And yes, and sometimes the fathers did make certain cookies. Mine didn't. I remember some dishes that I can attribute to my father, but he didn't do much for cookies. And mother always made sugar cookies, just tons and tons and tons of sugar cookies, which is just a round cookie, and and that's how I discovered in my life the whole mystery and chemistry of cooking, because she'd make a mistake: too much flour, too much sugar, too much butter. Well, then all of those too muches turned into a different product, and then later in my life I find those particular specialties are very, very special. Like if you put too much sugar in a sugar cookie, you end up with a beautiful lace cookie, you know, that is exotic, and then one that sort of melts, and you have to turn it and make it into a tie. Well, I then find out that all of those quote unquote mistakes that she had made actually are the basis of cookie refinement. So I enjoyed having been made aware of that particular thing. Other than just constantly making sugar cookies, there were a couple of other times. On the way in, I was giving some thought to what were some rather special things that she did, and I didn't know what the names of them were. And I'm looking through my cookie book, and lo and behold, I found not exactly the recipe, because I remember mother doing it with pie dough. I was very sure that she used pie dough and not cookie dough. And it was and it has a specific shape, and I find the specific shape is a special name. It's called the Three Eyes, Drei Augen in German, and mother coming from Pennsylvania Dutch cooking tradition would have made it. And that's where it's kind of a little tart of a cookie, the bottom dough, and then some jelly placed on it, and then the top piece of dough has three holes that she had punched with her thimble, as a little teeny weeny cookie cutter punched it with a thimble and made that. And and I do have it in my book as Drei Augen, which I think is kind of interesting, because I never knew what they were called, and they appeared, and there were never lots of them, and they were never the specialness of it was she'd made them. You know, it wasn't for a situation. It was, I want to make these, and I think that that she was using a recipe in her memory of her mother, who she learned her cooking from.
Well, it reminds me of a cookie that I have seen and had that seems to be essentially the same cookie, the only difference being that the top part of the sandwich has a big hole in it. It looks like a donut.
You're right. A big hole. There is one, yes.
And so you put your jam and you make the sandwich, and then they're dusted like those. They're dusted with powdered sugar.
Uh-huh.
And it seems to me like it's, you know, there may be different cookies, and the only difference really is what's cut out in the top layer of the sandwich.
I guess that's it. Yes, sir. I do know that there is a larger one, a European form that has a great big hole in it, kind of like a
world's flattest donut.
Exactly.
Well, we have a couple of people here to talk with. Let's do that.
Cookie.
And, we'll start with line number one. Caller in Urbana. Hello.
Hi, is that me?
Yes.
Well, I'm maybe just being lazy, and maybe I'm a little bit off topic, but I'm looking for a cookie dough recipe that is not necessarily edible, but which I can make into Christmas tree ornaments.
Oh, there are some, yes. I think that they use salt and flour.
Uh-huh.
Oh, let's see.
I want one that gets nice and golden and looks like a really nice cookie, but is for Christmas trees.
Is for Christmas trees. I know that exists somewhere. I'm not so sure it's in a cookie book. I think it'll be in a crafts book or something, or dough art. I think there's a whole collection of dough art, you know, where you mold things and such. Maybe one of the listeners will have that.
That would be nice.
I don't have that with me right now, but I think that's a good idea because they are very pretty, and cookies are often made as Christmas decorations, even the edible ones, and you pick them off and eat them. But I'm sure somebody will have that dough art style of recipe, and they'll call in.
That'd be great. Thanks.
Good.
All
yes.
right. Very good. Well, thanks for the call. Let's go on to another listener here in Gibson City, line two. Hello.
Yes. Hello.
Yes.
Yes. In fact, I do have an idea for that lady that just called.
Yes.
There's a lady that wrote a cookbook. It's for kids.
Yes.
For mothers with children. And it has, you know, recipes you make with children. And it's Judy Lansky. And the book is, Feed Me, I'm Yours.
Oh, yes.
And I had it when my kids were growing up. Well, I was she's a Minnesota author. And it was very popular in Minnesota. And I got it as a gift when my first child was born. And it's got several ornaments. I'm sure she went to the bookstore. She should get it. And Arm & Hammer baking soda.
Uh-huh.
I think if she would call, you know, I know that I'm sure there's a number they can call. If she goes online, I'm sure they would have one, too, because I remember using one of theirs one year, too.
One based on soda.
Baking soda has an ornament recipe to make, if I remember correctly, too. My kids are all grown. But the reason why I called in is...
Yes.
You know, with sugar plums dancing in their head, I've always heard of it. And then probably 3 or 4 years ago, I found this cookbook with sweet sugar plums.
With sugar plums, yes.
And you don't have to bake them. But what I did was I made them as gifts, and they really were popular. And it's basically you need a blender or a food processor.
Oh, yes, uh-huh.
And you chop up raisins. Apricots, dates. Walnuts, almonds, blanched almonds, and the recipe says orange juice, and then you can roll them in sugar if you want, but I don't because I think it's sweet enough as it is. But on percenting away, I use either orange liquor instead of the orange juice. Because I don't want it to ferment, you know, being sent away. But it went over so well that I sent the recipe to the people I gave the gifts to.
Now, you grind all those things up, and so then it becomes a paste. And then did you roll them in anything?
You blend everything either in a food processor or whatever until coarse, and then you add the orange juice, or like I said, if I'm sending them away, I use a liquor so it doesn't ferment, or, you know, the orange juice would get too fermented. And then they say you can roll it in sugar, which I don't do. And I put them in those mini muffin cups.
Oh, oh yes.
You see, with a Christmas decoration on
them.
Oh,
yes, yes.
Or else plain white or, you know, whatever. Or you could probably even make them for other holidays, too. But I just basically make these for Christmas.
Mm.
And you
know.
Really you roll them into, you know, the mini muffin-sized balls.
Yes.
And that's what I do, and I put them in those little mini cups and then, you know, get a nice little package and send them with my gifts.
I'm just sitting here sort of drooling on that because I love the idea of that sort of uncooked fruit bar. Not a lot of sugar. But all of a sudden, I want to put some bourbon in it and cover it with cocoa.
You know, that would probably work very well too. Maybe
I'm sure that I know that there are bourbon balls, and I don't remember. I think that they have other things in them, but I can taste crunching through one of those.
Yeah.
Well, sugar plums. That is indeed what
I think my cookbook is a family fun cookbook for Christmas, and they have orange juice, and I'm sure that's the reason why. But like I said, I knew sending them away, I didn't want to put orange juice in. So I had an orange liquor 1 year, and I think 1 year it was rum. So.
Oh, yes, yes.
But like you said, bourbon probably would work too. And that chocolate addition sounds really delicious too.
That's good. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Oh, boy.
All right. Thanks
bye-bye.
Very much.
Bye.
Well, we'd be very happy to hear from some other folks this morning. It's the first Wednesday of the month, and on the first Wednesday for a long while now, we've been talking about cooking and always having a good time talking about cooking, exchanging stories, exchanging recipes, generally around a particular topic. And this time around, Doyle said that he would be interested in hearing from people who have holiday cookie recipes, because it is the time of the year that some people are celebrating holidays, and for a lot of folks, food is part of the tradition. And maybe indeed there's some kind of sweet item that you make this time of year that is only made this time of year. Maybe that's a family recipe, something that has been passed down or is an important thing. You'd say the family would be unhappy if they didn't appear at the holiday time. And if you wouldn't mind calling in, you can share the recipe with us and with other people who are listening. 333-9455. That's for Champaign Urbana folks. We do also have a toll-free line. And that is good anywhere that you can hear us, and that is 800-222-9455. I think we have somebody here ready to go on a cell phone on our toll-free line, line 4. Hello.
Hello.
Yes.
When I was 12 years old, I had a neighbor who was from Scotland, and one day she invited my sister and I over and taught us to make Scottish shortbread.
Mm.
So I would like to give you her recipe.
Oh, yes, because those are rare recipes. If you got one from the folk, you got a good one.
Yes, yes. I can still hear her speaking in her little lilting voice as she told us how to do it. And there's only 4 ingredients. It's a simple thing to mix up. You want to put it all in a very large bowl. I have like a 13-quart metal bowl. And you start with 4 cups of flour.
Now, what kind of flour?
I would just use unbleached.
Okay.
Flour.
All-purpose flour.
And then you want to add a cup of cornstarch.
Uh-huh.
And 1 cup of sugar.
And 1 cup of sugar,
and then take a pound of cold butter and cut it into fairly small pieces and add that.
1 pound, yes.
A whole pound.
Mm-hmm.
And don't use anything but butter. Use unsalted butter. Then sometimes I'll add a little touch of vanilla or something, but those are the 4 she gave us. And then you get, with very clean hands, you get in there and you mix it up with your hands.
Yes.
And you get it till it's crumbly. You get the butter mixed entirely through it.
Yes. Until there's little crumbs.
Little crumbly, yeah. Uh-huh. And it takes a little bit of time. That's why if you cut the butter up before putting it in, it goes.
And it wants
better.
To be cold. It does not want to be melted or room
Absolutely
temperature.
Absolutely not.
Yeah, cold.
Right.
Yes.
And then you press that into a jelly roll pan, which is like a, I don't know, 9 by 13. Well, a jelly roll size pan with just a little edge to it. And I press that down. Then you can poke some holes in it with a fork.
With a fork, yes.
Press it very firmly in there. And then you want to bake it at 300 degrees for about an hour, 55 minutes to an hour. It'll just start to get brown around the edges.
Yes, it doesn't want to get brown or it...
No.
So that sort of burns the flour if you do that.
Right.
And that's a different taste. So
now
it's still light and creamy colored. It's not brown. Yes.
Right. And then sometimes at Christmas, before I put it in the oven, I'll put red and green sugars on it and press those in a little bit to decorate it. And then when it comes out of the oven while it's still warm, you want to cut it into the little squares or bars that very small pieces. It's real rich, but It's wonderful. And then you store it in a tin, and it ages. I've been making mine already. I make it around Thanksgiving time
so that
it ages for about a month.
Yes.
It's much better.
Yeah, it sort of relaxes and mellows in a way, doesn't it?
Yes.
Oh,
and
that's good.
It melts in your mouth, and it is it's just real popular. Once people try it, they just love it, and so I have to make a lot of that every year.
Now, the sugar is just regular caster sugar, just the regular sugar, yes.
And the cornstarch is a little unusual. I mean, some recipes I've seen use powdered sugar, which is essentially, you know.
There's cornstarch and powdered sugar.
In that. But this was how she taught us to make it, and it's how I've always done it. It's just a really good treat.
The recipe that I got from Scotland, instead of cornstarch, used rice flour.
Yes.
When we could only buy that one little tiny box of rice flour in any store in the city. We can get different rice flours now, but
yeah.
I think it's Mijinko, an Asian rice flour, and it has a different consistency, and it separates the rest of it, because you want the butter to go around the parts of the flour, and they keep separated. That's why it's so delicate and flaky when you get done, is you've separated all the flour and with butter, and this rice flour has a tendency of helping that happen. That is a wonderful treat to be able to make shortbread.
Oh yeah, and it makes a lot. And then, you know, you can give it in little tins. I have to send it. I have a daughter in France, and I have to send her some. Or
oh my!
A little ticked.
Yeah, that's good. So, well, you have a treat there.
Yeah.
Yes.
Well, thanks a lot.
4 cups of flour, 1 cup of starch, 1 cup of sugar, and 1 pound of butter, and that's all there is to it. Thank you very much.
Well, thanks for the call.
Thanks.
We have
Bye.
Somebody else here waiting. I just wanted to mention I've been noodling around here on the internet, and I have found two recipes for the dough to make cookie ornaments. Oh, and also one has come in.
By the door.
By the door. I think Martha brought that in.
Yes, I'll give that recipe in a moment. When we
so we have
down.
Some, and it looks like the ones that I have. One is for a salt dough.
There is salt. I thought
and,
there was salt in.
One is for one that uses cornstarch, and it looks like that's a little slightly more complicated, but not very. And in any case, there's the salt dough. It just has flour, salt, and water in it. And you just mix it up. You knead it up until the salt dissolves. And then once you have that made, then you do have to bake it. Bake it in a 225 oven for 2 to 3 hours. They say turn them occasionally to keep them from curling. And then you pull them out, and you do have to let them cool for quite a while, for several hours, and until you can handle them, obviously. But that's... Doesn't sound too difficult, and then you could model them as if there was modeling clay.
You could roll them,
and you could cut them out with
that
cookie
salt
cutters.
That one, I think, is pretty much of that same sort. Well, I'll see you one and raise
all
you
right.
one. Mine uses Elmer's glue and applesauce.
Interesting.
Applesauce, Elmer's glue, and one and one half cups of ground cinnamon. That's a lot of cinnamon, but that would also act as a flour. And then the applesauce would moisten all of that. And the Elmer's glue, a fourth of a cup. Can you imagine squirting out of your Elmer's glue, a fourth of a cup of Elmer's glue? And you mix all that together and knead it. Now, you don't bake these. These dry for 3 or 4 days.
Oh, they just set.
After you flatten them out, cut them with the cookie cutter, punched a hole in them and such. But my recipe is 1 1/2 cups of ground cinnamon, 1 cup of applesauce, and 1/4 cup of white school glue like Elmer's.
Mm-hmm.
And then the rest of it is what you would think, because you're going to make the dough with that.
Yeah.
So,
and I suppose these others, if you really wanted to keep them for a long time, you probably would want to seal them with... something.
There,
varnish.
Yes,
or,
actually,
you know,
you're right.
Like that.
You're right. You could do that. That also keeps the bugs from getting in.
Yeah. Otherwise,
they're going to attract. They're going to attract. But that'll be fun.
All right. Okay. We have another caller. Or had another caller. Maybe that's what they were calling about. We have certainly plenty of time for people to call in and offer their thoughts, questions, comments. It's the first Wednesday of the month, and it's our time to be talking about cooking here on Focus 580. Doyle Moore's the man here, the man we like to call our chef in residence.
Boy, he wasn't almost in residence today. I was driving last night at 1 o'clock to get here.
Where were you in?
I was in Chicago.
Oh.
And guess what? It snowed all the way from Chicago home.
All right. Also, we have a message from someone that says that the shortbread recipe is already on the website if you look under today's program.
Great.
Very good. Another caller here, Urbana, line one. That was Harriet, I think, did that. Thank you very much, Harriet Williamson. Caller here, Urbana, line number one. Hello.
Hello.
Yes.
I've got a much better tasting ornament recipe.
Oh, all right.
Actually, it's been, I think, 30 years since I've tasted it. A friend of mine made stained glass cookies.
Oh, yes.
And so it too, kind of ends up with some sort of rope that then you put hard candies in.
I see, yes.
So it has, do you want to know what the recipe
is?
Oh,
yes, stained glass cookies, yes.
Yeah.
I've got my pencil
her
poised.
Her note says, makes quite a few. And it was typed on a manual typewriter, so you can kind of guess how long ago it was. It's a third of a cup of shortening.
A third
of a cup
Crisco.
Of sugar.
Yeah.
An egg. 1.5 teaspoons of lemon extract.
1.5.
Two-thirds of a cup of, and your choice here, of honey, corn syrup, or molasses.
Three-fourths of a cup?
Mm, no, yeah. Two-thirds.
Oh,
Two-thirds.
Two-thirds of a cup of honey or molasses, yes.
Or corn syrup, yeah.
Like molasses.
Molasses sounds really good.
Yes, that sounds very wintry. Very wintry to use molasses.
And then it says, sift together and add 3 cups of flour, 1 teaspoon baking soda.
1 little tea of soda.
And then 1.25 teaspoon salt. My guess is these days you'd use less salt.
Mm-hmm.
And she says it makes a stiff dough, and I've had these. I mean, I hung them on my tree, actually. Makes a stiff dough, form into ropes about 1/4 inch thick.
Oh, uh-huh.
Work on waxed paper-covered cookie sheets, form into shapes like bell, tree, angel.
Oh, I see. Yes, you're going to make stained glass.
Yeah.
We're getting there.
I've got a picture here in front of me of her little drawings on my card. Then it says, crush hard candies, different colors, separate colors, and place within outline of dough.
Yes.
Candy need not be crushed finely, and she said about 2 average bags did this batch for her. Bake 8 to 10 minutes at 375.
Oh, okay. 375 degrees for 10 minutes, yes.
Let cool and then remove wax paper. So I guess the wax paper was sitting there for the baking.
Or you could use the parchment paper.
I bet that'd be, improvement there. And don't try that while it's still warm.
Because the candy is melting and becoming the stained glass.
Yeah.
And then your rope is making the leading for the glass.
Mm-hmm.
I got it.
Yeah, and then it says hang by ribbon or make a hole in candy with hot needle.
Uh-huh. Oh, that'll be very beautiful,
They're beautiful.
I'll bet they
ornaments.
Are. Now, go through your recipe again. I forgot the third ingredient. I have 1/3 cup of shortening and 1/3 cup of sugar, and then the next thing I lost.
It was 1 egg.
Oh, 1 egg.
Uh-huh.
That was it.
An egg. And then 1.5 tea of lemon extract, 2/3 cup of, we thought, molasses.
Of molasses. Mm-hmm. And then 3 cups of flour, 1 teaspoon of soda, and 1 1/4 teaspoon of salt.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
And then 2 bags of hard candies.
And then 2 bags of hard candies. They're down here crushed. And all together at 375 in the oven for 10 minutes.
Uh-huh.
Oh, that sounds wonderful.
I think I've just found a grandkid project. Now, when she gave this to me, the original kids weren't even thought of.
Yes. But, oh, my. Well, they'll love that because it kind of is a mystery because I should think that the joy of putting that in the oven and then it melting and you bring it out and it is a solid sheet of glass and it's in these bright colors. I think that would really
edible.
Be.
I mean, I've certainly worked with Play-Doh for things.
Oh, yeah.
Non-cooked. But this is, you know, if you wanted to, you could eat it. Probably not after it hung on the tree for a month. But.
Oh, I don't know. I think so.
Well, listen, I'm really glad for your show. I'm always glad to catch you. This is so fun. And I was digging through my cookie recipes this morning, so listening to you.
It was fortunate. Thank you very, very much.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Bye.
Well, we certainly have time for other folks to call in. We're collecting cookie recipes, holiday cookie recipes for a lot of people. It's a big part of their tradition, the way that they celebrate, by making something special, a special sweet treat. And as I said, it may indeed be very likely be something that is only made at one time a year. So that's also part of the deal that makes it special. It's not something you have every day. It only arrives
at
certain
times. You don't have stained glass cookies lying around for people to pick up?
No, I can't say as I do. You come to my house, you get a no-fat Fig Newton. That's what you're going to get.
Frosted?
No.
Oh.
No frosting. Oh. No, just a plain old no-fat Fig Newton. If it was good enough for my grandfather, it's good enough for me.
Well, I agree.
333-9455, toll-free 800-222-9455. No, there weren't no-fat Fig Newtons when my grandfather was around. But I think he was kind of sort of a sugar cookie man. One of the jokes about him is he was the guy who could go into a fantastic bakery, have all these cookies and cakes and toys, and come out with a bag of three sugar cookies. That would be his great indulgence. So do you have a particular recipe that you want?
No, but I'm sitting here pondering on your Fig Newton, because do you know how to eat those?
Is there a scientific method?
There is in my mind, and the Fig Newton is the bar that's completely covered, and the two ends are open,
right?
And then the figs are in the middle. Well, you sort of like eating corn. You munch off one side, and then you turn it around and you munch off the other end. So then you've got it just with a layer on the top and on the bottom,
like a sandwich with the crust
exactly. Cut off. Then that gives you enough space that you can turn it sideways and gnaw one of the levels off. And see, this makes it last. You gnaw one of the levels off. Then you turn that upside down and put it on your tongue. And you sit there and sort of melt it away then. It's a technique to take.
I guess I'll have to try that.
Well, you know what? You'll be addicted because it's fun and it goes through all these various stages. It does extend it out. You aren't just sitting there gobbling down the cookies. And it sort of makes it fun. That's my Fig Newton story.
All right, ladies and gentlemen. There you go.
You heard it here.
That's right. You know, the most amazing things are said on this program. And many of them by this man here. The man we like to call our chef in residence, ladies and gentlemen, Doyle Moore. And he says things, and sometimes there are even things you can say on the radio.
Most of the time.
333-9455 for Champaign Urbana. Toll free 800-222-9455. We have someone listening up in the northwestern part of the state in Sycamore. Let's go there. Line number four.
Good morning.
Hi.
Good morning. I just heard your commentary about Fig Newtons, and I had to throw my 2 cents worth.
Yes, yes.
not about eating them, but about the Newtons themselves. I've noticed, and I wondered if you had, that they have different formulas for the different versions of them. They have come out with a new Fig Newtons bar, which is quite a bit larger than the standard ones you get in the package with two they're the ones that are in the package. The standard package are about square. And also, they also have a vending machine version that's also long, but not quite as thick as the new bars that have come out. And those two seem to have less filling.
Oh, yes.
Than the standard ones that are square that come in the regular packages. I just wondered if you'd noticed that.
Well, I think part of that is a response to things like power bars and breakfast bars and funny thing where they want you to think that you're getting a whole lot more because you're getting something special, but it probably doesn't have as much as if you were to pick up a bunch of Fig Newtons and eat them one at a time. My guess is just a merchandising plan that says, oh, look, you're getting a whole great big bar. And so I suppose you have to enjoy it, and that's what you're going to get. Do you like Fig Newtons?
Oh, indeed. And I've, you know, was raised on them from 50 years ago on to the present, I guess.
Yes.
From time to time.
Now, I'll tell you, I'm very reluctant to have a new strawberry Fig Newton. It can't going to be a Fig Newton if it's strawberry. I stay away from the new styles of it. But I don't eat them anymore, but when I did, I told you how I ate them.
Well, I can understand. The fig filling really is the best.
Yes, it is.
Yeah. And that's why I was a little disappointed when the longer ones came out, that they changed that ratio, because I've always thought the original ones had the most filling, and the filling really is where it's at. The coating is there just to make the filling not sticky so you can handle it.
Well, that's exactly it.
Okay.
Next time... Try my method and chew the top layer off and then lay it on your tongue and let it melt.
That sounds like a great plan. Thank you.
Okay, bye.
Thank you very much.
Bye now.
When they came out, I tried the caramel apple Newtons just because it sounded like it would be really good, and I was disappointed. Yeah, I don't know. And I just went back to the fig.
I think that really there is a, let's see, now what is that called? A mouthfeel. Isn't that the word?
Yes.
What does the food feel like in your mouth? And I think that if you are a Fig Newton fan, you simply can't stand something that's blander, or mm-hmm. something that's softer, or something that is a different texture, because you want that mouth feel of a Fig Newton.
Hmm. Okay. Well, Fig Newton lovers, you have comments?
The trouble is, I don't have any recipes for making Fig Newtons. I don't think I've ever run into a recipe for making them.
Yeah.
So I think that they are really a manufactured product that you don't expect anyone to make. Now, surely there must be. There are fruit bars. I know there are filled fruit bars. But even that, you see, you want the Fig Newton texture. You don't want what you're going to get if you got a cookie.
Well, there is an Italian fig cookie that I have made now a couple of times at the request of Mrs. Inge. That's actually, I think it's like, you know, Fig Newtons in Nirvana, because they're that much better.
Wait. Oh yeah.
And I have not got the recipe in front of me, but basically what you do is you make a filling using dried dates and figs and some other things.
Okay, as I was talking earlier, yeah, the stuff that you got before sugar was fruits that are dried and then ground up. Yes.
Right. And then you make this very sticky, and it's really pesky because it's extremely sticky. And then you make a dough, which is very similar to a pie crust dough. You roll this out in long rectangles. You take some of the filling and you put it in the middle, and then you roll it up. So what you get is a long log kind of a thing with your fig filling inside. And then you cut that into cookie lengths, and then you bake it. And it's really, really quite nice.
You cut it before you bake it.
Right. Yes.
Yes,
indeed. You cut it in and you bake it. And then you can decorate it. You could put icing on it if you want, because it's sort of a traditional Italian thing. When we make it, we have put red, white, and green sprinkles on the top, because those are the colors of the Italian flag.
And so,
plus, it also, okay, if you want to do it at Christmas time, your red and your green. That works. So that's a really nice cookie. And it's a little bit of work, but it's pretty nice.
Speaking of a little bit of work, I thumbed through my book quickly, which is the Time Life series that I've got all those books down there. And there is a Fig Newton recipe. I don't want to go through it. It's far too long, far too complex, and I know why. You don't really necessarily want to make your own.
You just go down to the store.
Just go down to the store. Those are the ones you want. This is the longest recipe in the book. I'm not even it's butter and cream and brown sugar and eggs and vanilla and flour and baking powder and soda and cinnamon and salt, and that's just for the outside. Then there's the dried figs, black figs, water, sugar, lemon peel, and salt. That's the inside.
Man.
I don't think I want to go any farther.
No.
But you can look it up. It's the Time Life in the Time Life series book, the Good Cook series, which is that very first collection of Time Life books that came out.
So either you can let Ma Bisco make them, or if you really want to make them yourself, that's where you can get the recipe. Let's talk with another listener in Downs on line number one. Hello.
Doyle, when you were in Kansas, did you ever encounter the Mennonite peppernuts?
Pfeffernusse, yes.
The little hard ones?
Yes, indeed.
That's our Christmas tree.
Oh, tell us about that. Yes, pfeffernusse. In fact, how peculiar. The reason I jumped on that was, yes, my sister and I discussed pfeffernusse last week in the middle of Kansas.
Really?
So, yes, that's what I'm sort of laughing at. You know more about me than I do.
Well, I knew that you came from Kansas.
Yes, and I was right in the middle because just to throw a quick note in, and I can now call her and tell her, yes, I did talk about our trip. I went to the Hudson Cream mills in Hudson, Kansas, which makes the best flour in America. And of course, I got lots of flour and some good recipes and things. And we were talking about pfeffernusse because she says, "What are those things that's got pepper in them or something?" And I said, "You got it."
Yeah, they do. Some of them do.
Yes. Well, let's go with your recipe.
Oh, it's long.
Well, okay. But yes, it is, but this is a very old recipe.
Yeah, it is.
Mm-hmm.
And this is we have lost my grandmother's recipe, but this is very much like hers. It's half a cup of butter,
mm-hmm.
3/4 cup of granulated sugar.
3/4 cup of sugar, yes.
Same amount brown sugar.
And 3/4 brown sugar.
1 egg.
1 egg, yes.
This calls for 1/2 cup of sweet cream. I never do cream.
Uh-huh.
I do whole milk.
Okay. So, how much? 1/2 cup?
1/2 cup.
1/2 cup of milk, yes.
2 tablespoons of honey.
2 big teas of honey, yes.
1/3 cup of white syrup.
Of Cairo, yes.
And the recipe calls for 1 teaspoon of oil of anise.
Oh, yes, 1 teaspoon. Okay.
Which is not always easy to find. My note says that I have substituted 4 teaspoons of ground star anise.
That would...
I'm trying to
think where anise oil is in this town. Where is it? I know that it exists.
I know that my grandmother used to make a special trip to a small town nearby.
Uh-huh.
It was a Mennonite, particularly Mennonite town, where she could get oil of anise. 1/2 teaspoon of vanilla.
Vanilla.
1 1/2 teaspoons of cinnamon.
Cinnamon.
1 heaping teaspoon of cloves.
Mm, yes.
1/2 teaspoon of nutmeg.
And 1/2 teaspoon of nutmeg, yes.
Freshly ground, please. 1/2 teaspoon of pepper.
Okay, there we get the pepper.
2 teaspoons of allspice.
And allspice.
1/2 teaspoon of salt.
And 1/2 teaspoon of salt, yes.
1/2 teaspoon of soda.
Mm-hmm.
1/2 teaspoons of cream of tartar.
Cream of tartar.
1/4 teaspoon of baking powder.
And 1/4 of BP.
And 4 to 5 cups of flour.
4 to 5 cups of flour, yes.
And you want to do this like you would do a regular cookie. Cream the butter and sugar and then add the liquids. Mix the flour together with the dry ingredients.
With all of the spices, yes.
And then add those. I make it into a very stiff dough. If it's not stiff enough, I'll add a little flour.
Mm-hmm.
Then you roll it out into ropes. And I make mine quite small, like, 3/8 of an inch.
Oh, yes.
And you cut those crosswise into tiny little cookies about 3/8 of an inch.
Mm-hmm.
And you bake them at, I've closed my book, 375 for 10 minutes.
375, yes.
Now, I find it really helps if you put all those ropes close together on a baking sheet, put them in the freezer.
Oh, okay. So then they're going to sit there and
and then you can cut them when they're still frozen.
Oh, yeah.
And it's much easier to handle.
And now you don't mash them down or do anything because they're going to spread out just a little bit anyway.
They become like little
nuts.
Like little pepper nuts. Mm-hmm. Exactly. Do you put anything on them? Do you sprinkle anything on them?
No, not at all. They're very plain. They're very hard.
That's a good thing to say because you'd expect it. Oh, here's a nice little soft cookie.
Not at all. No, they're very hard.
Not at all because, let's see, there's not a whole lot of butter for all that flour, so they're not going to be too short.
And just one egg.
And one egg, yeah.
And my grandmother made one that had peppermint oil in it. Peppermint oil in it.
Oh.
These are quite brown. Those were white, and they were a little larger, thin and oval, about maybe half an inch long. My mother-in-law made one that was white that had anise only in it.
Mm.
And then she made a little one that was almost like a brown sugar cookie that had, but again, tiny, that had dates and walnuts in it. And there's so many variations. I mean, it's just everybody has their own.
I guess so. Where do you think that this comes from? Isn't it sort of German?
Certainly, the name is German.
The name is German. That's why I'm going to jump on that.
And they were sometimes in my family called Papenate, which is the Low German word for them.
Okay, Papenate. Oh, nut. Yeah, pepper. Well, pepper yeah. nut again. Yes.
Yeah, and but the Mennonites that I come from came from the Ukraine, but where they picked this up because they moved from Holland, across Europe. And I just don't know where this one actually came from. But the story is that in the 1870s, when they migrated to the U.S., they
yes.
brought huge sacks of them because they kept well.
Oh, they'd be dry and crunchy. Yes, they would, wouldn't they?
And then they also brought sacks of dried rolls. You know Zwieback, the Mennonite Zwieback?
Oh, yes.
Well,
yes.
If you have stale Zwieback, I've never been known to have them, but they cut them crosswise and dry them out, roast them.
Twice
right.
baked.
And this is a favorite in people's coffee.
To dunk and yeah. also again, right. it's going to stay for a long time because
right.
it's dry,
right.
bone
so that
dry.
That was brought also on the ships to America.
And so was the wheat.
Right. right.
That's why we have hard winter
wheat. That's why
we have
hard winter wheat.
And
right.
not only is that why we have hard winter wheat, but that's what Hudson Cream excels in, is exactly that Mennonite wheat that is in the middle of Kansas. And it's the best flour. Oh, it was great. I'm sorry to be so excited about going to a flour mill, but I learned so much, and the person who took us through is the third owner. He's 85 years old, and he and a family before him had been running the mill, and it is absolutely the ultimate of flour. Hudson Cream.
I don't know that.
It's hard to get.
What do you do with it? You make bread with it?
This Hudson Cream. Now I don't know what the term short patent means, but they call it a short. And he was explaining that out of 100 pounds of wheat, you will get 70 pounds of a grade of flour, and then they cut that down again, and you get only 60 pounds out of it, and that is what the Hudson Cream is made of. It's just like velvet, and it is so pure, and it's so good. And I got a great recipe for making dumplings that I have been trying to make for years, and it was his recipe, so I have reported on my being in one of the greater flour mills in America, and Pfeffernusse besides. Thank you very, very much.
Okay.
All right. We'll see if we get at least one more call, and we'll go to Atlanta, Illinois, on our line 4. Hello.
Good morning, gentlemen.
Mm-hmm.
This is stretching the cookie topic pretty far. I've got an 88-year-old father that's mother came from around Manchester, England, and their tradition at Christmas was to have plum pudding.
Oh, yes.
So he's been begging for years now that he would like to have plum pudding for Christmas. So we went through all our recipe books, couldn't find any recipe for plum pudding at least in earlier, and he consulted. He lives along the Illinois River, and he consulted a lot of the older cooks around there if they could make him plum pudding, and nobody heard of it. He went to the deli in his little town, and they never heard of it. So my wife was further researching through older and older cookbooks, and she found a recipe that was based on nothing to do with plums. It was based on suet and raisins.
That's it.
That sounded a little bit
that,
like a...
Isn't that funny? Plum pudding doesn't have any plums in it.
So that's right.
That's correct.
That is the correct recipe. So it's more like a cake instead of a...
It's like a steam pudding. Yeah, it is. In fact, it is a steam pudding, and you have to cook it for a long period of time, slow, and it comes from that. I'm not sure why it's called a plum pudding. You do pour alcohol on it and light it. That's part of the trick. And then you have a hard sauce that goes with it, which is made with sugar and whiskey or something to that.
That sounds good. It sounds like the suet would kill you before you got it.
and then all the suet in it is what is separating the grains of the flour, and then the raisins, or they may call them sultanas, and in England the name sultana means the dark raisin. So don't be afraid of that. You've got the right recipe.
That is the right recipe.
Yep.
Okay. Well, thank you very much.
You bet.
All right. Thank you. I think that we're about going to have to stop. And I'm sorry that we have a couple of people we just can't take, but we're here at the end of the time.
We have to wait till next Christmas or what?
Well, you can come back in January. But as far as the cookies are concerned, people are just going to have to make them and enjoy them, and then we'll go on to something else.
Well, we got some good recipes today, so call in and get them, or they will appear on the web.
We'll try to get them on the website. We already Harriet have put the shortbread recipe on there, and we'll try to get them to you. Probably the easiest way in the short run would be to drop us a line, and we'll try to get them transcribed and. We'll send them out to people. Well, thank you very much.
You bet.
Doyle Moore.
Happy to be here.
Man, we'd like to call our chef in residence first Wednesday of the month. He's here to talk about cooking. So will we see you in January?
Oh, yes.
Okay. So that'll
somehow
probably be around the 6th or the 7th or
oh, good. I hope.
Something
yeah.
like that.
I have to because my birthday's on the 9th.
All right. We'll see you then. The show, Focus 580, this particular show made possible by a grant from the Brown Bag Deli Restaurant, Homemade Pies by Inge, Gourmet Foods, Cards and Gifts, as well as Creative Crafts, Zimmer Art Gallery, Wacky Nackies, The Bean Scene Cafe, and Prairie Fire Glass, all housed in the same buildings in downtown Monticello. Support also comes from the Art Mart in the Lincoln Square Mall, Urbana. The Art Mart is pleased to support public radio in East Central Illinois. And also the broadcast is made possible by a grant from RE/MAX Realty Associates, currently handling over 30% of the real estate sales transactions in Champaign County, 352-5700. Nobody sells more real estate than RE/MAX, and they encourage you to join them in supporting public broadcasting. We're going to take a break. When we return, there'll be more Focus. We'll have news. First, though, an update on the markets.
The Carl Center for Rural Health and Farm Safety is proud to underwrite agricultural programming on WILL. The center helps residents of rural communities with education and training in farm safety. For more information, call 217-383-4606.
Good morning, everyone. This is Dave Dickey. Soybean rust now in a 9th state. Add Tennessee to the list this morning. It was confirmed by...